flick off your jandals, crack a cold one from the chilli bin, chuck on some cans, and enjoy a Kiwi take on all things Arsenal.
Hello, and welcome back to another Arsenal New Zealand podcast. This week, going through a bit of the January transfer window with a break in the football, we've got really nothing else to talk about. So got Mike and Corey joining me today. Mike, back from holidays from up north. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, man. It's pretty warm up here, eh? Auckland's roasting at the moment. I was playing golf the other day and it was 32 degrees, which is pretty insane, but spent a bit of time at the beach, did a bit of fishing, basically turned off the world. So I don't really know what we're talking about today, but we'll give it a go and see where we get, where we see where we land.
Well, that might explain it, because you've sort of missed the memo where this week Arsenal is without Red and your whole face is just covered in red.
Well, yeah, it's I did see this this white shirt thing that was posted this morning. As a collector of Arsenal shirts, I'll use the term collector because I have a fair few in my collection. I am not sure, eh? it doesn't sit right with me, but yeah.
Yeah, it's looking very Spursy, isn't it?
Very Spursy, yes.
And I saw they've still got the red logo from the FA Cup that's going to be on the shirt, right. So they've sort of missed it there as well. But yeah. Anyway, Corey, how you doing up in Wellington? Or I should say in Wellington. I'm in Wellington with you, but how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. We've managed to drag you away from the cricket for half an hour. So thanks for that.
Well, matter of speaking.
Well, you've got that on your second screen, I assume.
Just got out.
Transfer window. It's sort of...
It's here. Yeah. It's here. It's open.
It's here.
Yeah. What's happening? You'd like to get excited, but we all know as Arsenal, it's not always the greatest time of year.
We've even done something already. How good's that?
I know. We've got quite a bit going on, it seems, and it's quite refreshing to see the clubs being, well, the manager is being quite open, and they seem to be quite aggressive going into the window, which is nice to see. We find ourselves in a good position. Where we've sort of got to try and maintain fourth for the rest of the season. So you kind of hope that we'll go into the window to sort of reinforce where in the previous seasons, particularly the last few under Wenger, we sort of didn't do anything and it sort of ruined our season, not ruined our season, but it didn't give us the lift that we sort of needed in the back half. So I guess go from each of you just quickly before we get into the details of the players we're looking at, but just, I guess, just quickly sum up what you're looking for in the window, each of you, from Arsenal. Corey.
What am I looking for in the window for Arsenal? How long have I got?
2 minutes.
I think it's not so much what I'm looking for, but I'm really interested to see what the club's looking for. And I don't mean from the perspective of the endless rumours that we keep hearing and da-da-da-da-da. But on February the 1st, he's been the day before my birthday, just saying, who have actually brought in, because I think that's going to dictate or certainly at least publicise a lot about where the club's going and where the club is. We've got a unique opportunity in terms of where we are in the league, which is probably a fair bit better than most of us had expected at the beginning of the season. Certainly we hope we'd be in the top four, but realistically I'm not too sure many of us thought that we would be. we've had a little bit of rumblings in the camp with players, and one or two might go out. Well, one or two more might go out. So I think the players that they bring in are really going to show how serious the ownership is around what they want to do with the team and where they want to take it. Now we've got an opportunity to really boost where we want to get to. What may have been a 3-year plan could now be a 12 to 18 month plan if we make some good decisions. So I'm really excited by it.
Yeah.
This is my excited voice.
As Josh would say, get excited, be excited. And I guess it is sort of the supporters will be looking to see just how hungry the owners are and the club is to get into the top four again, because this is our best chance, isn't it, for many years?
It is, but I don't think it's about who we bring in terms of dollars. As we saw in the last transfer window, you know, we need to bring in the right players. You know, does that mean it has to be Blavich or anybody else that's going to be a $100 million striker? not necessarily, but it's about bringing the right players in at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. And Mike, what about yourself? What are you sort of looking for from the club this month?
A striker? Okay, Corey's put two fingers up, so he wants two strikers, but like we need goals. We need a proven goal scorer. I think we're getting by relying on the young kids, and that's going to get us only so far. We need someone who can bang goals in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess it comes down to who leaves as well, or not just in January, but also in the end of the season. You know, we're not really seeing any contribution at the moment from the strikers that are here. You know, Lacazette is playing well, but he's not scoring.
He's contributing in a different way to the team, and it's needed in the current setup and the way that we're playing. And he's definitely helping the young guns come through. But relying on kids for so much, all it takes is one injury, right? One or two injuries, and then we're in the poo. So we actually need someone who can reliably bang in goals every 88 minutes or whatever the XG numbers, blah, 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 whatever comes out. But, yeah, and I'd like to see Aubameyang moved on.
Yeah, I guess we'll touch on that as well. It's kind of a nice position.
What do you want to see, sir?
Well, I mean, we're in a good position, as you guys said. Like, we're in a very good position. We're playing well. We're in a good position on the ladder. And we've only got one or two positions where we really need to focus on. A lot of our work was done last summer, and it's paid off. So I guess, it'll be interesting to see whether we go out for those statement signings, which is always hard in January, I guess, or we just sort of fill in the gaps that we think we need for now to get us through to summer next year, and that's when we do most of our business. We definitely need someone in the midfield, even if it's short term, to get us through January and February, and for when, Xhaka has another meltdown and gets sent off. And we probably do need at least a backup or someone to take over from Lacazette for the rest of the season. They're the two main ones, and it looks like the only other position we may need to look at is a backup right back. So we're in a pretty good position. And again, it might be that we need to spend the window offloading players. We've still got probably a few that don't need to be there. So I guess that's where we get into first, right? The outgoings. When it comes to Arsenal and transfers, you're always a bit skeptical with what you see on Twitter and online. But outgoings is the place where, especially so far, we've probably been a bit more concrete in what we've seen floating around. We've already seen Maitland-Niles confirmed going to Roma on loan till the end of the season. That's without an option to buy, so he should be back for next season. Hopefully he gets some good game time. And if we need to, we can sell him in the summer. Balogun looks like he's going on loan to Middlesbrough, which is definitely needed. Whether it's the right club or not, I trust the guys to be sending him off to the right club. Torreira seems like we're going to try and offload him for real this time. But again, who knows? Could be, from what we're seeing online, it could be that he's used as to help fund a buy for a striker. But again, that's all just rumors online. But again, who else do you guys want to see leave? You know, from the names that we've seen there, that's sort of to be expected. But is there anyone else? You've already mentioned Ober, Mike. Is there anyone else you guys want to see?
Ober definitely needs to make his exit. I see he's in AFCON and he's playing up over there again as well. So
no, he's not playing. He's got COVID.
Yeah, no, but he went partying or something and caught it or whatever it was. So
playing.
I said playing up. Check your headphones. He's off the rails at the moment. So, I mean, there's other players that are that you can, I suppose you can call dead wood in the squad, like Elneny, etc., that are just kind of floating around and filling a gap here and there, but aren't really adding to what we see on the pitch, right? They're probably adding to the training sessions and the experience they're passing on, etc. But in terms of pitch performance, we're not seeing much from there. And maybe even someone like Nketiah. I mean, I know he went out on loan last season and had a semi all right loan, but he's come back and missed a few sitters for us and not really kind of stepped up like Smith Rowe and Sucker and stuff. So he'd probably be one that I'd look to cash in on and use the money to fund somewhere else.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to, right, with Nketiah, because he's got 6 months left on his contract now.
Yeah.
So he's leaving for free at the end of the year. So would it not be best to just move him on now?
It could be. Obviously, maybe they're chucking a new contract under him and trying to boost his pricing by playing him a bit. But playing him a bit, he's not actually helping himself because the goals aren't being banged in.
Except for the League Cup.
I was about to say, against, like, I suppose,
quality opposition.
Yeah, Premier League opposition, right? The League Cup's a different kettle of fish. So I think we're here talking about primarily our league team and our league results, which are what's going to get us back into Europe, I think. So, I do believe he needs to move on. And I'm just over the whole Ober situation. It feels like another Ozil situation again, but yeah.
Yeah. Corey, I mean, there was talk, which I don't believe, but I mean, you never know, it could be lucrative for us to sell to this club. Newcastle's monitoring quite a few of our players to try and, you know, save them from going down. If they come in offering for, you know, Holding, Nketiah, Aubameyang, Elneny, we don't really want to keep any of them, do you? Although I did see Aubameyang, they wanted him based on the fact that we'd continue paying some of his wage. Would you want that, or you just want him completely off the books?
The only way we're going to get rid of him is by subsidising some of his wage. No one's going to pay him what we were dumb enough to sign up to pay him 2 years ago. That's just not going to happen.
You'd like to think the richest club in the world could do that, though.
Yeah, but they're not many rich people are that stupid, unfortunately. Some are, but you know, they're pretty few and far between. So I know it's early days, but I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that they're going to pay Aubameyang the best part of $500,000 a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd love to see it happen, don't get me wrong. But if we've got to pay half his wage, whatever, we just need to get him out for the remainder of his contract, get him into a different environment, get him out of ours. And it's going to cost us money because we made what ultimately turned into a bad decision. Again, you know, most of us probably hoped it would be different, but we are where we are. And, yeah, the situation is what it is. And either we find another home for him at our cost, or we don't at more of our cost.
It's almost not about the money, though, isn't it? It's, we don't want to get into that situation again with the squad, well, having one of those players around.
Yeah, that's what I mean by getting rid of him and just find him another home, get him in a different environment. You know, and if we're still paying $250,000 a week of his salary, at least he's not hanging around sitting there tweeting crap or Instagramming stuff or whatever that Mike's favourite all-time Arsenal number 10 was doing for a wee while there, because that's not helpful for anybody, and it's not good for them.
Dennis Bergkamp was not doing that. What are you on about?
it's not good for them, ultimately. You know, it's not good for us. It's not good for the rest of the squad, da-da-da-da-da. So, hey, go and play some football somewhere, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in Newcastle, wherever, Barcelona. They've got no money. Go and have a holiday there, mate. No, see you later. If you want to take a couple of your other current teammates with you, all the better.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the main thing to look at, obviously, Aubameyang, I think we all can agree, is one we'd all definitely want to see this month. Obviously, Maitland-Niles is already done. Balogun, just because he needs game time. Can all the others wait? Especially with how difficult January can be sometimes. Yeah, if we can't replace them, we definitely need to keep, you know, Suarez was mentioned that he may be going to Atletico, may be interested in a loan to buy. But can we get rid of Cedric, as bad as we rate him, when we may need a backup for the rest of the season?
I would say bye-bye Cedric as my feeling. I think he's more of a liability when he's in the team than when he's not, sort of thing. And Kedia, like you said, 6 months ago on his contract, I don't think we can afford to wait. We either need to chuck a new contract under him and get him out on loan, or we need to...
He doesn't want a new contract.
Yeah. Or we need to pass on him and move him on. Elneny, I suppose, can wait. I mean, he does kind of do a job if he ever gets on the field, but it is a sideways, backwards job, but it's a job. Holding, I think Holding's still got a spot on the team. I think he still can do a job. We're going to need him, aren't we? Because Gabriel's suspended, so we're going to need someone to slot in there.
Well, at this stage, it's just for the FA Cup against Nottingham, but the point still stands. Throughout the rest of the season, we'll need someone just in case. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And he actually does perform a decent job himself. I don't think he's quite to the starting level of Gabriel and White, but he's definitely a good backup for us. He knows the system, etc., and can do a job and can work with those two, whoever he's playing with. So. Kolasinac, I mean, bye.
Forgot he was at the club, didn't you?
I did, yeah, actually. I thought we had already
saw him in the training picks the other day and was like, who's that? Oh, that's right. He's still around.
Yeah.
I think, he's one that must be coming close to the end of his contract as well. Because didn't we loan him out last season to a German team?
And Werder Bremen,
they got relegated in there, yeah. So I don't think there's too much interest in him.
They couldn't afford to keep him.
Look, he's not playing for us, so we may as well try and get him off the books if anyone will take him. Yeah. I just don't see anyone interested in paying a fee.
And that's, I mean, what a lot of these guys are going to come to. It's a consideration of what are they in the squad? What are they giving? What are they taking away? In any case, if they're creating any issues around the squad, i.e. over or not. What are they giving us? What are they likely to give us in the next 6 months or for the remainder of the season? What are they costing us? And what income potentially, if any, can they generate? And then that's where, you know, it comes to the consideration of all of those factors versus if they do go, what can we do with that squad position realistically? You know, it's all well and good, as you touch on, Dylan, saying, let's get rid of Kolasinac, for example. But if it's the last day of the transfer window, where are we going to get another backup squad member who's relatively happy not to play, but can actually add value if he needs to on the off chance, and is happy just to be a professional trainer?
And that's where I'm sort of sceptical on any rumours about a defensive signing, especially right back. I think as we're moving into players we might actually go for, the only one I've seen linked to us is Brighton's right back, Tarik Lamptey. And they're quoting apparently 50 million. I don't see us spending 50 million on a backup. And I don't think he's good enough to come in and be our first right back, first choice right back. So, yeah, is there anyone out there that we can go for that would be cheap enough?
Probably.
I'm sure there's someone out there somewhere. But look, I mean, I don't see anyone in the Premier League who would sell to us their first choice. And I don't think anyone in the Premier League who is currently a second choice would come to us, or we'd want them, I don't think.
But why would we want someone's first choice?
We've got
good first choice right back. Why would we go and pay 60 million? You know, what we would do is what we did with some of the other positions, i.e. left back, for example, and get someone who's 10 to 15 million, a bit younger, a bit less experienced, and isn't going to have the expectation of the playing time.
And develop.
And that person's probably not going to come from within the Premier League.
No,
probably
at
more.
At least they're not going to be English, because you have to pay the tax, or you get someone from a lower level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, there aren't really names coming up at the moment, but I guess that's sort of the way Arsenal's doing it as well, isn't it, for these sorts of signings? You know, they sort of come out of left field.
I was going to say, how many people heard of Tomiyasu before we signed him?
And Tavares, same thing.
Tavares. Look, there's one other name I want to add to your outgoing list. Corey knows where I'm going here.
I'm going to add one yet.
Pepe Le Pew. I'd like to see him moved on. He's costing us a fortune. He's not playing. And when he does, he doesn't really suit the style that we're currently playing and fit the system. I just think he was
great at Newcastle.
He was a bad buy overall. It was more like a panic buy type scenario. Splash the cash and see where we can go, but I'm not happy with where he is.
I don't think it was a panic buy. I think it was the Palms getting greased by. I don't think there was any panic, quite the opposite. But, yeah, I think if Newcastle, I think he'd look great in stripes. Newcastle wanted to give us 40 or 50 million for him. You bite the hand off. Here's the ticket. Drop him 25, off the train 30. Station. See you later.
25-30, I'll drive him there for you.
Pounds or millions?
Yeah. New Zealand pesos?
New Zealand dollars.
The other one I was thinking about just before we move on was, what would you do if someone comes along and offers us a little bit of money for Lacazette?
That's a hard one, because I think he's actually quite crucial to the way we're playing.
Because we've offered him a one-year contract, which he's not going to sign, understandably, because he wants a three-year contract because he's 30. And he realises this is his last decent contract. He's been playing really well for the last phase of the season, the last few months. His value's probably never going to be higher from either his perspective or ours. So, yeah.
I mean, I know it's hypothetical. I just don't see anyone coming in. He screams Bosman for me. He's going to get a nice, comfy contract for a free transfer.
There's a few rumours of continental teams having a bit of a sniff.
I mean, if they came in with a decent price, I think you'd be stupid not to take it. With with his contract situation, better to get something now than nothing. As long as it doesn't weaken the team, as long as we can replace him.
Yeah, but we can't.
Well, that's I mean, if we can replace him, then sure. But I think we've got, three striking options at the moment. One who probably won't see play again, but we've got three striking options. It's realistic, I think, that we can maybe say, okay, two can leave this January window. So we've got to keep at least one, because I don't think it's the point of the season where you go and replace your whole striker. Your whole striking team. So,
Whole strike force.
So I don't know. I think we've got to keep at least one. He's the obvious because he's playing and he's playing well, but we can't weaken the team. So I don't know. It'd be an interesting decision.
I think it'd be pretty simple.
I can see your point with accepting a bid for Lacazette, but I wouldn't. I would actually.
My point wasn't we should.
No. But I can see
there's been some rumours.
I can see the point for accepting a bid for him, but
before I overwent and went a bit deal early,
yeah,
I would have certainly said yep by their handoff. But
agree.
Since Orba's gone AWOL in the head,
he's very crucial to the link between our, I suppose, attacking and midfield at the moment. Lacazette is, so I wouldn't want to play with that or jeopardise that, even if he does go on a Bosman at the end of the season, fine, he's done his term and he's lived up to his contract and that's all good and he's earned himself some value for it. We may miss out on 10 million, but that's not going to, I don't think, break the bank and not going to cause any issues if someone comes. I don't think they're going to, no one's going to come in and offer 40 million for a 30-year-old unless they're Arsenal. Because that's what we do. No one else does that. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So I'd rather use him for this season, run him into the ground and get everything we can out of him and then say thank you very much for your service. Loved having you here, et cetera, et cetera. Here's a gold cannon. Off you go. That sort of concept would be where I would sit if I was in that boat.
I don't see it being realistic, and I think, I don't see any club coming in for him at this point who know that they can get him for free at the end of the season. Football is crazy, I guess. I guess it depends on, how we do getting rid of the other options in our squad. If we are looking to generate money, then... if no one comes in for Aubameyang. No, I don't think we're that desperate to get rid of him either.
I don't see a circumstance where we get rid of Lacazette.
No.
I think it would be ludicrous to even consider it. Even, even if someone does say he's 15 million euros or something, not that they will. But the difference between us finishing fourth and sixth or fifth and seventh or whatever is huge. In any one of those eighth, seven and six for the fourth. So the more stability and the more productivity we can maintain in the squad from now to the rest of the season, the better. And I think there's enough disruption already as it is. And you can say, if we get a bit of money for Laka, then we can just go and get another striker. It's like, yeah, you can, but is that person going to come in straight away and hit the ground running? Probably not. And especially if they're a bit younger, yes, we've struck gold with some of the summer signings, but I think you're a little bit naive if you think that, we can just continue to replicate that with everyone that comes into the team. But yeah.
Yeah, fully agree with that. Mm. I guess that covers the outgoings. I think we'll be fairly active in trying to offload some of them, but again, just depends on if there's any willing clubs to take. But going into incomings, I've put together a little list of the strikers sort of being mentioned. I know there's more, and I'm sure you guys could mention another name or two, but these are sort of the main ones that I sort of keep seeing. So if we are going to bring in a striker this window, I've first got Jonathan David from Lille. 22, he's scored 16 goals in 27 appearances this year in a Lille side that's not really doing that well and they're not really creating chances.
Before we look at specific particular strikers, can we maybe quickly just talk about what kind of striker we want. So we've got a blank piece of paper, effectively. What do you think, what with our evolving system, and it is evolving, and it's going to continue to evolve, what do we want a striker to do? What kind of skill sets do we want the ideal Arsenal striker in the foreseeable future to have? Because obviously it's not Lacazette, it's not over, discipline stuff aside. But what do we think that is? You know, what kind of traits are important?
Yeah. Well, let's start with you then, Corey. What's your ideal striker?
I mean, aside from someone that can score goals, I think looking at the way we're playing, what we need is someone who's multifaceted and who can adapt to different kinds of roles in different situations. And I don't, a lot of people get hung up on formations and 4-2-3-1s and 4-4-2s and whatever. But I think it's imperative that we have someone who's adaptable in terms of how the ball's delivered to them, but then also what they're doing with it. And I guess that's, for me, the big thing that's lacking with Eddie Nketiah, who's clearly, he's an okay finisher. The guy's got potential and he's got some talent. He's far from the finished product, but he doesn't have the breadth of game that I think we want from our centre forward, which has been demonstrated, I think, to probably quite good effect recently with Lacazette. And that's not to say that we want a Lacazette clone, because we don't. We want a lot more. But his ability to come back deep, get the ball, lay it off, and then move, maybe not as quick as we'd like, but if we can get a younger, quicker, so someone that's got a little bit of, they don't have to be a giant, but someone who's got a bit of presence, someone obviously who can shoot and score goals, but also someone who's got the vision and the spatial awareness to be able to play the type of football that we can see Arteta's trying to get us to play is as important, if not more important, than the skill set. It's no good having the skill set if our striker's not where we need them to be at a given time in the match, whether it's through build-up play or the end or set piece or whatever.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah. Picking attributes for a striker, like in our current setup, I think we need, if I was to go down your FIFA card, we probably need a decent amount of speed. They've got to be able to keep up with our young guns. I want to have a fairly strong shot to goal ratio, if I'm honest, because I think we've been lacking that from our strikers in the last 2 to 3 seasons.
When you say shot to goal, who do you think of? So who's someone who's got a good shot? What you think is a good shot to goal? And I'm not current? Trying to disprove you. I'm just trying to get on
you. Yeah.
Current or recent?
Current, recent, etc.
And obviously you can go Thierry Henry or Shearer or whatever.
No, I was actually thinking the player I think we need, and I know we can't have him, etc. anymore, but is someone like Aguero, right? Dynamic, great initiative, works really hard, has a bit of pace, not afraid to take a shot. When he takes a shot, it's generally on target and it's generally going to hit the back of the net for some worldy sort of save or whatever, right? I think that's kind of the player that we need. Lacazette's kind of like a 70% Aguero. He's lost that pace and he's lost a little bit, etc. But that Aguero mold, I think, is the player that we need to combine with the likes of Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, Martinelli, etc. To a bit of experience, etc. To bring him forward and to finish the product. Because we are creating a bit of product, right? The left and right wingers, even Tierney, etc., they're putting crosses in, they're getting the balls in, balls are coming through. We're just not converting those chances. So someone with that high expectation and high conversion rate is kind of where I'm thinking. And that Aguero mold is probably my feeling of where I think we need. How we find the next Aguero, I don't know. But even someone with like the attributes of maybe like Ian Wright, right? Where, right. He would he'd take his chances, right? And he'd work bloody hard for the team, and he'd put that badge on with pride, et cetera, and lead from the front. That's what the Aguero kind of mold looks like, right? Is someone who leads from the front, chases everything down, doesn't stop to the final whistle, et cetera. That's what I want. Lacazette's doing awesome, but he's also 30-something and slowing down.
You know, if you think about where Arteta's come from and where he's trying to take the team, that's not exactly a surprise, is it?
No, not at all. I'm looking through the list that you've kind of pulled up here, Dylan, with Jonathan David, Alexander Isaac, Dusan Vlahovic, is that how you say his name? And DCL. None of them kind of fit that mold. None of them are kind of that workhorse conversion sort of thing, if you know what I mean.
See, I don't know necessarily about that. I think it's more about them just maybe proving themselves. I think some of them do it very well at the moment. Like my preference out of the ones that have been mentioned would be probably Jonathan David, because I think he's probably a better fit in terms of, you know, I don't think, everyone keeps talking about Dusan Vlahovic, but I don't think he'll be a good fit for the club.
You said it very well there.
Vlahovic. I haven't even been practicing.
Vlahovic?
DV.
Yeah, DV. There you go.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, he is reluctant to come to Arsenal, and his manager's a bit of a hassle. Where
I mean, that could just be, hey, we want more money, we want whatever.
It could be. But
you're never going to know.
In terms of what you said, Mike, you know, we want someone with high energy who takes his chances, plays well and connects the team. I think Jonathan David is doing it well at the moment at Lille. They're not creating many chances. I think he's only got something like 2 to 2.5 chances per game. But he's got 16 goals in 27 appearances at the moment.
Yeah, the concern I have there is the transition from playing in the French league with Lille to the Premier League with Arsenal going for top four.
And that's one of the notes I put there.
Yeah. He's a young lad. I think he's 21.
22 next week, yeah.
Yeah, he's quite a young lad. He's a Canadian, I believe.
Yes.
Not very proven in the world of football, other Canadians. But look, it's not to say he's not like the next big thing, but also I'd be reluctant to take a punt on that. I think we need something. We've got enough youth in the squad. I think we need something that's in that sort of 24 to 26 market, year-old market, who is proven at a league and a team of the same sort of caliber, if you know what I mean. I love bringing youth in, and I love the prospect of youth, etc. And it may pay off in the future and all that. And we're seeing that with a few of our young players. But there's also a balance, right? We've got a very, very young squad. And if we're talking about moving on the likes of Oboe, etc., and Lacazette running down his contract and all that, we need some experience coming from somewhere. And a one position up front, the guy who puts the old bulge in the old onion bag sort of thing, he's the one we need.
I knew Tommy Smith was coming. Carry on.
But I honestly think it's that 24 to 26-year-old market that we need to be hitting. Someone who's got experience, someone who can bang the goals in for us, and has done it at a high level for a decent amount of time. I think 21-year-old coming in is going to
change the game. Reinforcing that point, we're losing Oba. We're going to lose Lacazette, whether it's at the end of the season or not. And then the next cab out of the midfield, and I'm happy to pay for it, to Heathrow, is Xhaka.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as you touched on, Mike, that's that's our experience.
And El Nini,
in terms of players on the
park, et cetera, right? All those guys in the squad, right? Yeah.
You know, so yeah, and we're going to have to pay a bit more because we want people who are proven in that mid 20 range. And
that's the question.
We're not
going to
get them for 20 million.
No, not at all.
That's the big question, though, isn't it? You know, who in that age range fits the way we play and fits the profile we're looking for? And I knew you were going to say that.
Mbappe?
I'm being semi-realistic.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's, I guess, Arteta going to look for, though? Is he going to look for someone, a little bit younger who maybe perfectly fits the system according to, what they see? And hope that pays off, as opposed to, can Schick do the job for us?
Yeah. He's not
exactly setting the world on fire at his age. You'd sort of want, if we're bringing in someone his age, you sort of want them to be, obviously, we're not going to get top level players, but, you want someone with potential still, and does he have enough
what we want
potential
is $50 million striker for $50 million?
Yeah,
exactly, and that's exactly what we're doing. Saying. Yeah, because look at the other players we've signed. We're looking for those $100 million signings for cheap, and that's because they're young.
The other thing I was touching on before, when I kind of indicated we could be getting two strikers. And I can see a situation when we do. We do get someone who's 24, 25, a little bit more experienced, obviously not elite because money. But maybe we also bring in not Vlahovic for 70 million euros or whatever it is, but a younger striker who is around that 21, 22, who isn't inexperienced, who is going to take some time to transition into the Premier League. If you said to me, are we going to spend 60 million on Calvert-Lewin or someone who's Premier League ready? Yes, he's not elite, but we know that he can score goals at this level. He knows the competition. He knows the defenders. He knows how it works. He can come in and do a job and may even still get a bit better. And we spend 30 million, maybe half as much-ish, on a young guy who's in his early 20s. Who's high potential, but doesn't necessarily have a lot of that experience yet, or has experience in the lower league potentially, and hasn't transitioned to one of the top leagues, which is really only the Premier League at the moment to a large degree. So, if Nketiah goes, Lacazette's going, Over's all but out the door, one striker's not going to fill it.
No, I guess that then comes, which order do we do that in? And I struggle, even if you did want to see us sign someone like Calvert-Lewin, I struggle to see Everton letting him go in January.
They've got to replace him. So.
Yeah, and we've still got Lacazette for the rest of the season. So
I sort of see a younger player being more realistic.
Yeah, in this window, absolutely. Definitely. But, these guys aren't stupid, despite probably what a lot of us fans might think sometimes. They know this is coming. It's been coming for years. Lacazette hasn't suddenly turned 30. He didn't skip a few years. The thing that could change timings, obviously, is over. So if there's someone who we might have been thinking could be two or three windows away, but we can get them now, then I wouldn't be surprised if we did.
Yeah. So out of the ones that sort of listed here, is there any that takes your fancy? I know you may not have necessarily seen them play in matches, but have you seen any highlights? Have you seen anything that makes you think, okay, he would fit really well Forgetting price tag, forgetting age, anything. Yeah. But
just, I actually think Dominic Calvert-Lewin would kind of suit our system. Like, not only has he got feet on him, like he can play. He can also he's got a good height and good head and good muscular build as well. But we've got lots of young, little, fast whippets in the team, I suppose you could call them, and you need a bit of muscle to kind of go up against the big centre backs of other teams, right? So having him in there, at least he can throw his weight around a little bit and his size, etc. With the other three that you've highlighted, Vlad, David, and what's his name in the middle there?
Vlad?
Yeah. Alexander.
Vlad, yeah. I can't pronounce Vlad. I'm just calling him Vlad now. Isaac and, we go from there. Those guys don't look like they're of the same sort of pedigree and build as DCL is. So I wouldn't mind chucking 30, 40 million for DCL. I think he's worth a punt. He's got experience. He's scored some goals. And he's coming into that sort of prime area of his career, right? I think he's 24, 25. He's had a few injuries, but yeah. And he could, he speaks the language as well, which kind of helps. When you bring in foreign
he's
players.
He's not scouts, really.
No, but you know what I mean? Like it's hard enough that we're trying to integrate the likes of Gabriel, et cetera, into the defensive line with language barriers, et cetera, and now Tomiyasu, et cetera. But at least he's not one you have to worry about with that. Like you can have a good conversation with him and get the talk, the chat going pretty quickly. And
well, maybe it is.
I mean,
maybe English isn't the most spoken language in the squad, so maybe an English player coming in would have the difficulties.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's focus on about four, can't he?
I think he's like,
can he's no, yeah, he's no finger, five, yeah. but he knows a few.
Well, let's focus on him then. He's probably going to cost more like 60 million when you add the English tax in. It wouldn't necessarily be a hard deal because I think if we came in for him, he'd want to go. And from what I'm seeing, Everton is over on their FFP. If that actually means anything these days, but they're about 40 million over at the moment. So, that could play a part where they're needing to offload someone. Like you said, he's about to turn 25, so he should be coming into his prime. He's got 43 goals in 151 appearances, which isn't amazing, but it's still pretty good. Yeah. But he is quite injury prone.
Seven languages. Seven. I just googled it. Sorry, I butted in there. So he speaks. What have we got? We've got Spanish, obviously, Catalan, and Basque, and then he also speaks English, French, Italian, and Portuguese.
So that covers pretty much everything. So
welcome to the Language New Zealand podcast.
Sorry. Move on. Where were you?
Is he too injury prone for someone we're looking to be really the main striker for the next five, 6 years? Can we afford to have him out for,
First 10, of all, let's just retract your statement there. I don't think any club buys a striker for 5, 6 years at the moment, even though we give them 5 or 6 year contracts. I think it's more of maybe a 3 or 4 year outlook. And I think from this lad, 25 to 29, 30 is probably his prime that we want. I don't think he's too injury prone. When we've got Martinelli there as well, right?
Yeah.
And we'll have someone else too.
Yeah. Well, you've got Balogun out on loan. Lacazette's obviously floating around until the end of the season. We've got Patino coming through the ranks, right? There's a few others kind of in and around there as well. So
I don't think Patino's going to play up front, but yeah.
He can. Why not?
He's about 1.5 meters tall. You just said you wanted someone big and strong.
Hey, he's still young. He's still got time to grow. He's got to eat more carrots and he'll get there.
He's going to
poached eggs.
I tell you what, double in size.
He needs some poached eggs. That's where he'll get his size from.
Anyway, we're digressing again. Come on, host, take control.
Okay, so with the strikers, so you're saying Dominic would be your preferred out of this lot?
Out of this lot, yes. Yeah.
Is there anyone that's not on the list that you would put above him at this current Harland. Time that you know? Anyone who's realistically going to come to us?
I actually really like Antonio at West Ham. I don't think he'll leave West Ham, but I quite like Mikel Antonio. I know he's a little bit older, but I actually really like
31.
His work ethic. Eh?
He's 31.
He's 31, I know. But I really like the way he works and the way he plays.
So we should have kept Giro after all.
Corey, anyone that's not on the list that you've already said Sheck, but is there anyone in the English game that you think?
I second Mike's thing with DCL. You're restricting me to English players now.
No, I'm not restricting you to English players. I'm just, is there anyone else in the English game or is it someone else overseas or?
I mean, I have done a little bit of looking at Xi, who looks awesome, but then you see him link with Manchester City, so that's not going to happen. The only other one who's a little bit left field and completely contradicts almost everything that I said about what we want in a striker and also breaks the well-known and highly critical never trust a man with two first names rule is Ivan Toney from Brentford, who is a bit of a presence up front. He's not huge, but he's quite physical. 25 wouldn't cost a huge amount of money. Brentford will sell pretty much any of their players to anyone if the number's right. That's their model, and it's how they got to where they got to. And I wouldn't be unhappy if we brought someone like that in as a squad player, not bringing him in to be, he's going to be our main man for the next 5 or 6 years. But he's a guy who, for some games, similar to the role that Lacazette's had up until old mate losing the plot.
Yeah, he definitely would be. I think that's one I actually forgot to put on there. He has shown.
And he's an Arsenal fan, I think, too.
Supposedly, although he was quite critical of us, I think, after they played us.
Everybody was. Yes. Quite rightly.
But yeah, no, in terms of his hold up and the way he brings everyone else into the team, into the game, is very good. And that's it. Like, I feel like, everyone talking about striker and who we're going to bring in, it's kind of the last piece of the puzzle. I know we've probably got to look at a midfielder to replace who we've currently got, but I don't see it as maybe critical as the striking option. Whoever comes in, whoever we bring in, should take us to the next level. We've got every other position filled, but this last one is key. So we really need to get this right, because whoever brings in, like I said, it could be the difference of top four, maybe fighting for a title in a couple of years' time. So whoever we bring in really needs to be the real deal. So it's going to, I don't think, happen in January, but look, I think we'll need to bring someone in. It just depends on whether we can get the deal done. I don't see us getting Dusan from Fiorentina because, I think he's going to be a bit too much and probably not want to come. But even Isaac from Real Sociedad, he's played with Odegaard before. He can play across the whole front line, so he's a bit flexible. He's 190 centimetres tall or something, so he's got that presence up top as well because I think we do need someone who can get on the end of crosses, which we haven't had for a while. our whole...
Can someone tell Kieran Tierney that?
Yeah. Our whole thing with Tierney and Tomiyasu is getting crosses in, but there's just no one ever there. So to have someone tall like that with a presence would be great. He's got a really good right foot. I've seen some of his goals, and it's just, you know, the odd occasion, the very rare occasion we see Pepe score a left footer into the top corner. I don't know if you remember because it's been so long, but similar to that, his right foot. Yeah, Mike's got a good memory. But yeah, similar to that, but with his right. But yeah, we need someone who can do a bit of everything. And yeah, he's one of them. But again, I think it'll come down to the price and, you know, how much we want to get the deal done. But look, going into the other main area, move this along a bit, but midfield, I guess everyone's looking for a replacement for Xhaka. Again, it's probably not the most critical, but we need an upgrade if we're going to really compete. So who do you guys sort of think is a realistic option for January? But who would you ideally like to see come in?
See, I'm probably on the other side of the fence where I think Xhaka is actually a good player for us when he's on the field. He actually fits Arteta's system quite well, and I think that's why Arteta keeps going back to him. What's his contract situation? Is he's got a few more years left to go?
Two, I think.
Two, yeah.
Or three. He just signed a new one, didn't he?
Yeah, he's 29. Yeah, he's 29, so he's coming towards the end of his prime. So I don't think there's going to be a replacement this window for him. I think it's going to be a next season sort of conversation. Honestly, the guys that you've suggested in your little notes thing here, I have zero clue on, except for said Wijnaldum. And I don't think that's where we want to go, if I'm honest. It's a hard one because it's quite a tricky position and a quite a tricky role that Xhaka plays in the team. One, from his experience that he brings, again, from quite a young sort of midfield defensive unit that we've got. He does provide a lot of experience, but sometimes he loses his cool. So it's kind of figuring out that line and who we could fit in there. I think it's a bit trickier than a 10-minute conversation on a Arsenal New Zealand podcast to figure out how we fit that key in that hole sort of thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things I don't think we can get done in January if we're looking for a top defensive or central midfielder to replace Xhaka. I think it's going to be more of a filler to sort of fill in the gaps for when, you know, Partey's away at AFCON or Xhaka gets a red card or, you know, for whatever reason we need, you know, just to fill up numbers, which, you know, sort of leads to Wijnaldum. You know, he's proven in the Premier League. If we're not, you know, buying him, if we're just getting him on loan for 6 months or whatever, would that work, Corey? Would that work for you?
It could do. I mean, it's just a question of, I think, you know, if he did come in, it's style and squad depth, and it gives Arteta another piece that he can use to create his puzzle, you know. And in some matches, in some role, you know, he's certainly not anything like a direct replacement for Granit, but nor would he be in that context. He's only here for 6 months. Gives us another option. The guy's experienced. He knows the league. He knows the competition. He knows the grounds. He can walk in and perform a role. And in some matches, that kind of role could be really, really valuable. And we don't have anyone else that can do the things that he can do necessarily to that level. So if he's available, I can see why we might.
Especially when, yeah, especially when, you know, that's probably what we're looking for, as you said, is the experience to fill the gaps in the squad to fight for this top four place. You know, he's been through all that, you know, competed for league titles. So he's been through those, you know, pressure situations in the Premier League. So he knows all that. So it may be the perfect situation.
Definitely.
Just for 6 months to get us top four. And then really look to improve in the summer.
Yeah, the other person you've identified, or one of the others there, Danilo, you know, he's a young kid, so he would, if we did buy him, he's not one for now. He's one
Definitely.
Yeah,
so from what everyone's saying online, what it's coming up, we've offered 20, 25 million for Danilo from Palmeiras. So he's in Brazil. Yep. So, yeah, I don't see that one being for now, especially a 20-year-old.
Yeah, but if he's someone who they'd identified and they were thinking in the next few years he's kind of someone who would like, if he's available now and we can bring him in 6 months earlier and he's ready to hit pre-season, hammer down, has a bit more learning experience around the language, Mike's favourite topic. And again, it just accelerates that progression for the team.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense that we've... It kind of makes sense that we're focusing on that region as well, right? We've got a couple of Brazilians in there. We've got our sporting director who has contacts in Brazil. So it only makes sense that we're sort of identifying these sorts of players and going after them, right?
Yeah. Well, he's done okay with one or two of them, to be fair.
He's done okay, yeah. We've got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say, Mike?
I was going to say that the concern I have over Wijnaldum is I think he's 31, and I just don't want to be in that Willian situation again.
It's a six-month loan, Mike.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, it can still go pear-shaped. I just had a quick Google of that. Bruno, I'm not even going to attempt his last name.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah. A BG, yeah, Bruno.
He's a big no.
Well, I mean, there's quite some really good reports on him, but there's also quite a hefty price tag on him, so a little bit concerned there. Well, what's wrong with Lekonga?
Kia Jurassian.
Are we not happy with Lekonga and that defensive?
I think
midfield
probably comes to everyone saying, well, yeah, it's great having depth and players like Lekonga who is for the future, but what about now? You know, I guess it's coming into the point where we need to add those touches of quality, you know, the final product. As you said with the striker, you know, do we want a 21, 22-year-old, or do we want an experienced finished product going into their prime?
And I think Don.
No, I was just going to say I have no problem with Lekonga, but are we going to put him above Xhaka week in, week out?
No, not currently. He's still a work in progress, but paired
he's,
with...
He's also a very different midfielder.
Yeah, very much Xhaka. So, yeah.
He's
yeah,
much more yeah, like Partey.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's room in our squad for a defensive midfielder, a good half-decent...
Yeah.
You know, who can come in and do a job. They might not necessarily start ahead of Xhaka, but it's got to be someone who we're comfortable, because it obviously wasn't Ainsley Maitland-Niles for whatever reason. So yeah, well, he's gone.
He's gone, isn't he?
Yeah. It's not Elneny for obvious reasons. So he going eventually. But we need another defensive midfielder who we can confidently start games in the Premier League. You know, so to me, they need to be at least at that Xhaka kind of level. If we can get someone even better, that's great. You know, but we need someone who's got either the physical attributes and capabilities, but also the right mentality to come in and hit the ground running, so to speak. And, you know, we don't want another 20, 21-year-old kid who's, you know, got all the right attributes, but lacks experience, and there's going to be an up curve in terms of his development to get to that level.
Would either of you be up for splashing the cash for someone like Declan Rice?
Yes, but no.
In what regards? As in too much, or?
I think too much. Yeah, I mean, I'd happily splash the cash. I mean, it's a critical position, and if we can get an upgrade on what we've got, you know, if the opportunity's there, if the money's there, if the board's happy to spend it or willing to spend it, then you know, I don't know that Declan Rice would be in the right place of that investment versus return. You know, we'd probably get a continental option, possibly, or someone else within the Premier League.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, there's also, like, I suppose, I mean, if we're looking at raiding another Premier League team, like happens to us very often, I actually, like, kept a little bit of an eye on Calvin Phillips. I think he's actually quite a good prospect in there as well.
Yeah, he did well at the Euros.
And he wouldn't cost, like, through the roof. He's not a Declan Rice sort of price tag, and he's got a good physical nature about him, makes a tackle, defensive-minded, et cetera, can make a pass, can score a goal here and there when needed, et cetera. I think he might be an opportunity, but, again, trying to get, as it leads to part with him will be a different story, but, yeah.
So I guess I don't know if you guys were or had that feeling, but last summer everyone was talking about going for Bissouma from Brighton. How do you guys feel about him, especially with all that shit going around with his other off-field stuff? Would you even go near him just for the off-field stuff? No?
I don't know that we would, as in. No, I think it's just probably not the right thing at the right time, and overlaid again by the money, because Brighton won't let them go for cheap.
And I was going to say, they're very good at getting the best price for their players, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are. No, I did see a rumour, again, hashtag social media or whatever, of Tielemans from Leicester. Apparently they're quite keen to get a bit of money coming in. So, you know, there's plenty of players around the Premier League. When I say plenty, there's probably a good dozen around the Premier League that could come in and offer us more than what we've got at the moment. There's probably more than a dozen, to be fair. You know, so I think if we did decide to go in that direction, there'd be no shortage of options there for us.
I think as long as we're not, I think, you know, our days of signing, you know, the Kim Karlstrom's back injuries is long over. So yeah, I think the only good thing is no matter what we do in terms of bringing players in, it seems like everyone can back their decision, right? They've sort of earned that over the last window or two, that whoever they bring in, they've scouted enough to know that they're going to fit into the club. Or am I just going off the last window and being a bit too eager to praise?
No, I think they've definitely changed my mind a little bit in terms of their ability in the transfer window to pick a player, and to pick one for our system. I suppose the last couple signings, not just the last transfer window, the last two and a half transfer windows have actually been quite positive for us. In terms of both incoming and outgoing. So, look, I think we can kind of, we have to, but I think we can trust them to kind of find the right player at the right price, et cetera, that works for us. But obviously, being Arsenal fans, we all want the best and the one that's going to win us the league type scenario, but you got to be a bit more realistic than that. And yes, it would be awesome to have Mbappe and Haaland and whatever else signed for us, but that's never going to happen. The concept, I think, of picking a proven player is a safe option, and a good option, especially when you're looking for a bit of experience or a slightly older player, which is where I think we need to head. We've got the youth. We need to, whatever position we're filling, whether it's defensive midfield or striker or right back, etc., we need to have a bit more, I think, seasoned in them. Yeah.
Not you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand, Corey. Yeah.
No, Michael's on his own.
Yeah, yeah. How?
That said, and I agree wholeheartedly, there is one proviso for me. Nobody ever, again, come from Chelsea.
What if they come from Chelsea through another club to us?
I'd be quite happy for us to sign Tammy Abraham.
He was the player I was thinking of.
because he doesn't break that role. Now that he's done the decent thing by everybody, gone to Roma, right? Now we can come to Arsenal. The door's open.
Well, maybe that's the thinking behind letting, because we've been quite reluctant to let Ainsley go in the recent times, but we've been very quick this time. So maybe that's a bit of relationship building there going on for the long term. But
Tammy Abraham is quite young still, right? He's what is he?
Very young. He's 23,
24. Yeah, so he's sitting in that start of that bracket of that striker that I'm kind of talking about. He's got a bit of experience, both onshore and offshore type thing. Can score a goal. He's got that physical presence, etc. I mean, I think Corey and I talked about it in our podcast at the start of the season. He would have been perfect for us.
Yeah, he's had an okay start as well to Roma. I think 7 goals in the season so far. So, look, maybe January isn't the right time, but maybe, summer next season or the season after maybe. Who knows? But, look, it's an ever-changing thing. You know, transfer windows can change so quickly, so I'm sure we'll see more and have more to talk about in the coming weeks. But I'll just get your guys' final thoughts before we go. Corey, just I guess sum up what you think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks or what you'd like to see happen in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, obviously I've got absolutely no idea what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And
well, that's the only reason why we bring you on. You're supposed to be the insight,
No one is. I mean, and there's a lot of people that seem to think they are, and that's fine. Whether they want other people to think they are, and that's fine too. But I just think it's a really exciting juncture for the club in terms of where we're going, where we've come and how far we've come in the last 6 months, that not many of us, including myself, whilst we were hopeful, we probably weren't confident that we would be sitting here in fourth going into the new year. So, as I touched on right at the beginning, I'm really excited to see what the club does with this opportunity. I'm reasonably confident it's not going to be nothing. It's just a matter of how far they push the boat and who they want to bring on board.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, very exciting because we're not trying to play catch up, right? We're just filling in the gaps. Mike.
Yes, sir.
Same question. Wrap it up. What's your thoughts?
What's my thoughts? I'm actually optimistic that we're going to make a positive signing, and I think we're going to
someone call emergency services.
Yeah, Mike's optimistic.
Mike's optimistic.
Maybe it's all that sun that I've been getting. I think we're going to move on. Maybe two or three more sort of squad players or loans or whatever and clear a little bit of the backlog. I really hope we do pass Ober on to whoever he finds a suitor for, but it's actually exciting for once to know that, one, we're in a position where we've got a bit of power to play and a bit of money to play with as well. And there's actually players kind of on the radar that are of a decent nature, rather than being in that 7, 8, 9 position on the table and kind of in that limbo sort of area that we have been for the last couple of seasons. Like, it's amazing how a couple places on the table, not only as a fan, brightens your outlook, but also increases your chances of bringing some players in. And I honestly 100% believe that it's the fact that we're not in Europe this season has actually made a big difference to our squad and the results we're getting.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think we've said that from the start, like, that was going to be our one advantage over the other teams, right?
Yeah.
And it's proven so.
But we're never going to challenge, like, for first place in this league with the money that those teams have and the squads, et cetera, that they have. So the fact that we're in and around that sort of best of the rest type scenario, I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, no, definitely positive signs for the rest of the season. And look, I guess it'll all come down to, yeah, the next couple of weeks in January. You know, it'll either be uplifting or, yeah, if we don't get anyone in, it might be the opposite. So, look, there's going to be plenty to talk about. I'm sure we're going to do another one or two of these before the end of January as well, with the ever-changing news. But I'll let you get back to the cricket, Corey. But, no, thanks for coming on, guys. We will talk soon. There's plenty to talk about. But yeah, thanks again for coming on.
No problem.
Good stuff.